Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Que el Señor les bendiga ricamente. Anyone? No? Amen? All right. God bless you richly. It's awesome to be here. You all have supported us in our ministry in Costa Rica for at least a dozen years. And so put that into the context of everything else we're going to say, you're a part of it, right? So as you're giving every month and supporting missionaries, you are part of the story of what's happening in Costa Rica. So thank you for that. Second thing, do we have the prayer cards that we could get out to people? The ushers. Randy, was that his name? Who's going to help us out? If we could get a prayer card to everybody, and if you want to just take one for your family or for both, either way, if both of you pray, you know, if there's two people that pray or teenagers are welcome to grab one, we want you to be able to pray for us as missionaries. This is part of what we do as believers. We pray for other people. And one of the things that I want for you to take away this morning is that missions is part of the mission of the church. And what we do overseas is part of what we do every day. And what we do in Costa Rica is part of what you do here. And it's all connected. So we're part of God's family. And we're even going to do a little geography lesson off of the little prayer card there. So once we all have them, we're going to do a little geography. The whole world belongs to the Lord, right? And so we believe he has jurisdiction. He made the whole thing. So, you know what, brother? I didn't bring one up with me. Bring one up here for a second. All right. So, if we can put up the visuals here. So, first thing on the front, you'll see this is our family. This is the Gallagher family from Costa Rica. Everyone say Costa Rica. Costa Rica. So our younger two kids will be with us in the second service. Jennifer and I. Jennifer is going to be sharing with you in a minute. So we'll get her up here in a second. Jonathan, the one in the middle, he's a freshman at Wheaton College in Chicago. We just went down there for parent weekend, so we got to see him. The rest of his college career will be in Costa Rica, but at least these months while we're here, we got to be part of seeing what he's doing in college. And Joshua is a junior. Julia is an eighth grader, and the younger two were born in Costa Rica, so they have Costa Rican passports as well as American passports. They are dual citizens. They all speak Spanish. Jonathan was two when we went, and the other two were born in Clinica Biblica in San Jose. So this is our family. If you look at the back side of the prayer card with a little map on it, there's a little map with a little red circle. You can probably assume that that's where we are, right? That's Costa Rica. So we're in Central America, not an island, right? So we're part of the skinny part that's Central America between the Americas. South of us is Panama. North is Nicaragua. And we've been there for 16 years. And this is part of our calling. We're going to take you through kind of how we got there, what we do, and then your part in it. But I want to start with a quick scripture reflection. This week was a pretty crazy week in the United States. And no matter which campaign you were rooting for, we all woke up on Wednesday morning saying, what happened? And what's next? And Jesus' disciples, after he had died and then risen again, which they were told would happen, but they didn't really think it would happen, they woke up saying, what's the new reality going to look like here? And it says they were grieving. They were perplexed. They didn't know what to do for sure. And I want to read the very end of Matthew 28 very briefly, because this leads us into the mission of the church. So Jesus' disciples, Matthew 28:16. It says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, the Mount of Olives. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always. When we have the mission of the church, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, that means bringing them into fellowship, and teaching them, that means training them and making sure that they have the word in their hearts and that they know what they're doing and they know what the mission and the purpose of God in their life is. And then the Lord says, I am with you as you do that. We need a purpose. And sometimes in times of transition in our lives, I think of the family that's moving, hopefully very soon, right? As soon as you get the house sold and everything. Transition, even if it's something you wanted. Even when you finish a project that you really wanted to finish. Even when you get that promotion or that job or finish that degree that you really wanted, all of a sudden you get it, and it's a new chapter in your life, and it feels weird. Because your life is going to change, and your life is in a new chapter. And when your life is starting a new chapter, what you need is a new purpose. And I think missions and then God's plan for us, the Great Commission, helps us to refocus and saying, go and make disciples and be a light in my name, and I will go with you into this next chapter, whatever that looks like. And so we'll tell you a little bit of our story in Costa Rica. So next picture, when we... Oh, that was a zoom of that picture. So when we first got to Costa Rica, we knew that we wanted to teach in the Bible college. That was something we wanted to do, we prepared for. And when we first got to Costa Rica, the national church leaders, now, pause on that point. The Assemblies of God is in every country in the world. We have Assembly of God sister fellowships in 255 countries and territories. 68 million Assembly of God members and adherents around the world. That's a lot. We have about 3 million in the U.S., 68 million. So the great majority of our people are not in this country, right? And in every country, there is an established national church leadership. We plant churches, and we have Bible colleges, and we train new leaders. And so when missionaries arrive in a new country, we find out what is already there, what God is already doing, and we figure out where the holes are. And then we go after the unreached people groups and the major spaces where the job is not getting done yet. So when we first got to Costa Rica, one of our questions was, what's one of the big spaces here in Costa Rica where it's not happening? And the national church leader said, would you go after our pastor's kids? So they said, we're losing the next generation in the church. The churches are growing in some ways, but we're not connecting with the next generation. Would you go after our PKs, our pastor's kids? So we're like, okay, all right. So we started working with PKs. We did a camp every year. We did monthly meetings in our house. We trained a leadership team. And so this was one of our early camps in 2003. And a great, great group of young people. Radical integrity was the theme of the camp this year. IR in Spanish, Integridad Radical. And I want to introduce you to one of the guys that was at this camp. The next picture is Jonathan. He's the guy with the red balloon in his teeth. Jonathan was lots of fun. This guy was just a ball of energy, always cracking jokes. We had him on our recreation team. He was just one of those guys that everyone loved to be around. And he came from a very small church that was very conservative. And it was in the middle of a city in kind of a gangs and drugs neighborhood. And he was a guy with big plans, places to go. And the people in his church just didn't get him. He was, you know, he's a guy that pulls off red skinny jeans. You know, I can't do that, but he can do that, you know. And when he got to college age, the people were just criticizing him. They'd say, well, look at those new shoes. Well, there goes the ties of the church. And he was so frustrated, he finally pulled out of church and stopped going. He stayed connected with our ministry. He stayed connected with a group of friends. But he bailed on church for 4 years. Going to the parties, he would hear his parents praying for him at night after he'd come in drunk after the parties and this kind of thing. And finally, he came back to the Lord. And so the next picture is part of the group of friends that were really instrumental in bringing him back to Jesus and finding God's purpose again for his life and kind of getting going again and serving the Lord. And Jonathan just became one of these guys. As he came back to church, the youth leader left, And so the pastor's son says, hey, Dad, I'll take the youth if you want. You know, so he started working with the youth, and the group just started growing. And the Lord was blessing that. Next picture, he met a great girl named Farina, a little bitty gal that wears six-inch heels every day. And she jumps up and down and sings leading worship on six-inch heels. We don't know how she doesn't break her ankles, right? But we got to be part of their wedding. And one of the great things we enjoy working with young people is to being part of their lives and mentoring them and being part of the important moments like weddings and their graduations and enjoying the special times with them. Next picture, the Lord started using them together as a couple in a very powerful way. And they became actually the ministers of choice for our young adult pastor's kids ministry. So our over 21 crowd. And this was a camp where we invited them to preach and lead worship and to share with our older young people. And they came to me during this camp and a couple times later and said, Uncle John, they call me Uncle John, said, Uncle John, what's next? We don't know what we're doing in ministry. How do we get to the next level? And I said, well, that's what our Bible college is for. You need to come to Bible college. And so in the next picture, they signed up for Bible college. I said, I'm teaching a Tuesday night hermeneutics class. Come and learn how to interpret the Bible. So every Tuesday night for 15 weeks, they were with me, and we walked through the scriptures and how to interpret the parables and find out who the author is and understand the scriptures and how they're written. And then they took another class with me that was a youth ministry class. And one of their assignments was to go out on the street in their community and interview some people. We don't want to just assume that we know what's going on out there. We want to actually find out. So I said, go talk to people in the schools. Go talk to the police. Interview some people. Find out what's going on in your neighborhood. And in that process, they met some of the gang members from their community. And one of the guys especially struck up a friendship with them, and they invited him to church. And so this guy comes to church, gives his life to the Lord, just totally clicks with God, and starts bringing his friends. And so Jonathan and Farina pulled me aside after a Bible school class one night, and they said, we've got this whole group of guys coming to church from the gang. And it's super cool. It's amazing. Do you want to come and preach for a special evangelistic outreach night? And I said, let's do it. So we came up with a real fun theme, and they decorated and the whole thing. The theme was Grace, the Stain Remover. So they had like dirty shirts and clean shirts, and the whole idea was that God's grace is the stain remover. And that night we were going after that thing in the heart when you've been offended and want to get back at people, but the Lord's grace removes the stain and removes the ache and the pain and that anger. And we talked about Matthew 18. When Jesus tells a story about a king who had an employee that owed him 10,000 talents. We did the math. It's about $4.8 billion. 200,000 years of a person's salary. That's like four of the new U.S. Bank stadiums in Minneapolis. Okay? That's a lot of money. One guy, how'd he get that far in debt? I don't know. Jesus was making up a story. And he threw himself on the floor and said, Lord, forgive me. I'll pay everything back. He says, it's okay. All of it is forgiven. Then he goes out and finds a friend that owes him 100 days' salary. Call it 8,000 bucks. 8,000 bucks is still 8,000 bucks, right? And that offense is real. That debt is real. And he was going to throttle the guy and throw him in jail because of 8,000 bucks after he'd been forgiven $4.8 billion. And Jesus says, when the guy's co-workers heard about this, they were so sad. And they went back to the king. They said, this guy that you just forgave so much is not able to forgive the person that owed him a little bit of money. And Jesus says, and they threw him into jail, him and his family, for the rest of his life. He says, and that's what your heavenly Father will do to you if you don't forgive your brother and sister from your whole heart. Whoa. If we have been forgiven so much, we have to turn around and forgive others. And so we gave the altar call that night. And a number of the gang members came forward. And I went down to talk to one of the guys. And I said, tell me, how can I pray for you right now? And he says, well, I'm really new to this Christian thing, and I want God to help me to be a man of God. But he says, the biggest thing I want to pray for tonight is the family of the guy I killed. I had no idea that was coming. And as I prayed with him, it made sense. Because he knows that he has planted a seed in someone else's family for them to have every right to hate him for the rest of their lives. And chances are he did it because they did something to make him hate them. And so the cycle of hate is just going to go back and forth forever. And the only thing that breaks the cycle of hate and revenge is the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we allow the blood of Jesus to come and clean out those wounds. We have very, very good reason. Does anyone have anyone really complicated in your life? A person that just doesn't go away? A person that's hard to live with, right? I mean, we all have these people. The person who calls at all the wrong times. And when you see them, they say all the wrong things. And if you live getting revenge and wanting to get rid of those complicated people, your life will be miserable, right? And so when Jesus says we have to forgive from the heart, he meant it. And so that night, the Lord was just doing a beautiful work of grace. That is why I teach in the Bible college. Okay, the next picture, this is the actual night that happened. There were about 30 of the gang members in back. And the Lord's grace is flowing in that youth ministry with those young people in that community. Why do we invest our lives teaching in the Bible college? Why do we work with pastors' kids? Because when the gospel is working, it gets down to street level. And it changes the hearts of people that otherwise would be on the street shooting each other. And all of a sudden that cycle is broken and they're looking for ways to plant love in their community instead of hate. They're looking for ways to forgive instead of revenge. They're looking for ways to be people that fulfill the mission of God instead of planting the hate and the destruction. This is why we do what we do. So the next picture, I want to talk just a little bit about one of these classes. Some missions agencies have begun to pull people out of Latin America, saying, well, we don't really need missionaries in Latin America anymore. Let's send them somewhere else. I want you to hear what my students are doing here. This is why we're in Costa Rica. So one of the guys on the left in the blue sweater, that's Hugo, and he's a businessman. And the Lord put on his heart to plant a church among the upper middle class business people that are part of his world. He lives in a neighborhood that's an upscale neighborhood. And he said, I can't just go on living as if all of my friends are just fine. They need the presence of Jesus in their life. So he's planting a church in the upper middle class. One of the girls off toward the right, Diana, she and her husband are going out onto the Indian reservations to reach an unreached people group. Way out in the mountains. They hike for hours to get out there. And they come back. One of the neediest places in Costa Rica is the jungle, the mountains, where some of these indigenous groups live. One of the girls in the middle with the red pants, that's Raquel. She's been part of our ministry since she was a little kid. And she is now a psychologist working on a university campus. They pay her as a counselor on a secular university campus to help girls, mostly girls that have been abused and that are coming in with issues that are just starting to come out above the ground now while they're in college. Every day she gets to pray with people and counsel and be with girls that have been trafficked, that have been part of the abuse of women that's so prevalent in Latin American society. In the back, toward the left, a guy with a bald head, that's Marco. One Tuesday night I said, anyone have a testimony? Marco raised his hand and said, I was saved in jail. And this week I got to go back to the jail where I was saved. I got to preach. We're starting a jail ministry back in the jail where I knew the Lord. A couple back on the other side are both lawyers. And they said, we want to serve the Lord in the place where we work in our law firm. All over the country, we have one of the guys on the left that's an architecture professor at one of the universities. And he's preparing to go as a missionary to the Muslim world. So we've sent from Costa Rica 50 missionaries to other countries. In Latin America, we've sent more than 1,000 missionaries. And we have them in places like Kabul, Afghanistan. We have a Costa Rican woman right now in Kabul, Afghanistan, that helps to run a tea house for Muslim women. And in a country where Americans are not allowed to be right now, We have a whole team of Latin Americans that are able to minister. We have Costa Ricans in Indonesia running a language school where they're leading Muslims to the Lord. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. So our people are going all over the world. So what happens in a Bible college here? We're preparing youth ministers. We're preparing people working with kids. We're preparing missionaries and church planters and people that are working in every part of society so the gospel penetrates every corner of Costa Rica. We love what we do. I get to see my students flourish and serve the Lord, and this is why I'm in Costa Rica. Now, I want Jennifer to come and share part of her story, because this last term we had a really unique opportunity to be part of a ministry in one of the indigenous communities. So that's the next picture. If you want to put up the next picture.
Good morning. So great to be here with you. We're deeply appreciative of your support and your prayers, and I'm sure there's probably someone that has an old prayer card somewhere in their house, and it's amazing to me when I visit churches and someone will come up and say, finally a new prayer card, I've been praying for you every day. Oh, that's so amazing, really, that we have this network, that you're holding the rope on this side while we are on the field. This last term, it's like my dream come true to be like a real jungle missionary, but it didn't happen on purpose. I wasn't trying. One of our pastor's kids wanted to reach his community. We started planning a church. We built a church in his community. A whole bunch of a wonderful church grew, and I became really good friends with one of the ladies in the church. She became a minister, and she is a home missionary. And her sons are national whitewater rafting champions. And they travel all around the world, and they do whitewater rafting tourism. And they built a rafting camp on one of the beautiful rivers of Costa Rica, the Pacuare. It has level 3, 4, and 5 rapids. So it's pretty extreme rafting. And my friend Geraldine, who's a home missionary, always felt called to be a missionary. She was going through some hard times in her church, and so she decided to help her sons build their camp, their rafting camp. Her son said, Mom, whatever you do, don't talk to the indigenous people about Jesus. They're Quebecer people. They have their witch doctors, and they will curse us, and they will forbid us to come on their land if you talk to them about Jesus. Well, Geraldine, being full of the Holy Spirit, one day was out in the jungle, and she came upon the path, and she was talking to the chief, Sylvia, and she asked her, in all boldness, has anyone ever told you about Jesus? And the chief said, no. Has anyone ever come out here and told you about the love of God? No. Well, can I come up to your village and share Jesus with you? And the chief said, yes. The next day, they came, they met down in the camp, and they took her up to the jungle, to their village, and she shared the gospel with him, and the chief gave her heart to the Lord and said, can you come back and tell my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren about this message? So my friend Geraldine committed to going in every month. Sometimes it was very dangerous. She went in with her sister and she broke a leg on the trail. Another time there was someone else that had some heart problems. It's very difficult. She would have to hike 9 hours to get into the camp and then up into the villages. But God, in his mercy, wanted to reach the Quebecer people. He has a greater destiny for them than darkness and to be controlled by the witch doctors that live and control the area and the region. So this is a wonderful family. Coralia is the chief's daughter, and these are some of her great-grandchildren. And they have all accepted Christ. They've been learning about Jesus. And this 3 years ago, we started building a church, a house of prayer, up in Hamekiri, the village. And you can go to the next picture, and you can see this is a team from Emmanuel Christian Center, where your daughter is helping out. They are bringing chairs up because everything has to be hiked up into the jungle. We built the church out in the jungle, and everything had, all the wood is cut out in, on the side of the mountain. And we actually have some of the Quebecer men have chainsaws, and we were able to hire them, and they helped build the church. You can go to the next picture. And here is our dedication service for our for the house of prayer up in the jungle. And, you know, you start something and you think, how in the world could you could we ever fill this place when there's just a couple believers? But as we're faithful to go, God promises that I am with you always. He is in it. When we are obedient, he brings the fruit. And so here, I mean, we need more chairs. We're running out of chairs. It's just a wonderful thing. And to see these little children worshiping God, Creator, it's just a beautiful thing. In the next picture, you can see this is Chief Sylvia. And part of this discipleship, when you are an animistic tribe, and you believe and there's spirits that are controlling everything, to know that you have a direct link to the God of the universe and that you can pray is a beautiful, powerful thing. And Sylvia, when little Natalia, her great-granddaughter, had been dropped a boiling pot of water on her and it burned her body, they were out in the jungle. It was middle of the night. They called my friend Geraldine and said, Geraldine, will you pray? She called me, Jennifer, will you pray? Little Natalia has been extremely burned by this boiling water. They rushed her out. Well, walked her, hiked her out to the hospital. She was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. And I want to tell you that Natalia does not have one single scar on her body because God touched her body, restored her body. And my friend Chief Sylvia says, there is power in the name of Jesus. And she wants her children, and her legacy is to that all of her children and her people in that mountain will know that there is power in the name of Jesus. So I stand here today representing the Quebecer people and some of those unreached groups in Costa Rica and around the world that it takes a lot to reach them. It takes a lot of effort. It's hiking. It's someone that will be dedicated month after month after month to reach and disciple and train these lost people of the world, because God has a greater plan. And so I just ask you, as you pray for us, remember Chief Sylvia, remember the Quebecer people, that they will flourish and know that God is the God of the universe and that their people will not become extinct, but they will be powerful and mighty, that revival will break out in those jungle mountains and they will reach other communities. Thank you.
The chief's oldest son was kicked by a horse, broke his ribs, collapsed his lung, and they did something similar. They called and prayed, would you pray for Urbano? And as we prayed for Urbano, all of a sudden his lung reinflated. The Lord healed his ribs. Just several miracles were part of this church plant, and we realized that there's some real dark stuff. The curses of the witch doctor, some of this stuff is really, really real. I mean, he cursed, someone paid him to curse one of their own brothers because he had raped one of their daughters. The sexual abuse of the girls in these areas is almost 90%. Just horrendous. Why do we say this? We say this because sometimes, because of our American training, one of the messages that we get a lot is, well, don't mess with those Indian groups or the indigenous groups because they're good and pure and noble and everything. There's some really messed up stuff, really, really messed up stuff that happens. And it's not just a Christian prejudice that we're imposing upon them, is that they need the presence of the Lord. There's some stuff that is dark and dangerous. And when we come in, we bring light. And they say, this is a whole different way of living. We can look at our cousins and the people from the other village without hating them now. This is what happens when the Lord's presence comes in. So this is why we do this. Now, In a minute, we're going to be taking up an offering, and then I want to come back and pray with you. I have a very specific way that we want to pray to wrap up this message on this missions morning. But as we've been in Costa Rica teaching in the Bible college, that's turned into helping to train teachers from other Bible colleges. That's turned into being part of the All Latin American Theological Association. So I'm the president of the Theological Association for Latin America, part of a network of Bible colleges. So we have 900 Bible colleges in the network. That's part of what we do. And so we get to be involved in bigger things across Latin America, but our heart is in the classroom and in these little the church plants, because that's where the kingdom is lived out at the end of the day. And I know that some of you could help a lot, and some of you have a little bit less. But between now and next week, over the next 8 days, we need to raise $7,000. We have a project that's happening in the north part of the country. We're building a new Bible college location. It's about a $200,000 project. And we're taking this year from our ministry in Costa Rica to come up and to connect with our churches that support us. But also, we don't make apology. We want to ask you to invest in Costa Rica. And I know that some of you could do $100 and some could do more and some can't do quite that much. But we're believing for God to do something really great this morning. And part of how we respond is in our giving. So I'm going to have Pastor Randy come up. And then at the end, we're going to pray together.
Thank you, John and Jennifer, for sharing, well, not just the stories, but, you know, what God has placed in you and His Spirit that pours out of you to us today in this place. And I want to tell you thanks. We want to give an offering unto the Lord that will go in its entirety to their ministry account. Because I have some latitude by the board, I want to operate within my latitude. You need 7,000 by when? In the next 8 days? How much of that do you already have? Do you know? This is it. Okay. Beyond what we give in this service and in the second service, we're just going to add $1,000 to it to help with meeting your goal. That's what I'd like us to do. So I'll let Marlene know when she comes. She's doing the check. And so whatever comes in these two services, in addition to that, we will add $1,000. If you're making a check out, make it to New Life so that everything that comes in, we will just issue one check to go to their ministry and ministry account with the Assemblies of God. And so if you're visiting this morning, I told you in our regular tithes and offerings, you don't have to participate. But if you want to participate in this offering, that's up to you. I want you to know that you can do that. I'm very comfortable saying that because it does not come to this church. And if you want to give and be a part of what God is doing through their lives in the lives of others, we want you to be able to do that. And so, ushers, why don't you come? We're going to just take a moment and pray together. And then I'm going to turn this back to John and let him wrap up these final moments of this service this morning. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for blessing us with so many opportunities, including this one this morning, to be a part of your kingdom moving here upon the earth and not just living unto ourselves. That we can give unto you and that you take it and you prosper it and you bless it and you take that which is in this material world and you somehow touch it to transform its influence into the spiritual world of the saving of many and the healing of people who are in need. So Lord, this morning we just want to be a part of that. And we want to tell you thanks. I ask that you would bless John and Jennifer and their family, that you would watch over them and all their coming and going, that you would go before them and be with them and watch after them. Answer, Lord, I pray, to the longings of each of their children's lives, and that you would work in their hearts, and that if you should tarry, that they would advance the kingdom on earth greater than even their parents, that their children would build off of what they have done. Give them health, every one of them. Give them health in their bodies, and continue to steer them and direct them. So, Lord, we thank you, and we give unto you today, Lord. That's what we do. And we're just so grateful that we can. Give us meaningful moments together in these final minutes of this service today. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
While we're taking up the offering, could you go to the last picture for me? If you would like to sign up to be part of our prayer team and get our email prayer letters, you can go to dollager.org, even on your phone, and that'll take you right to a page that'll have a little button that says sign up for email newsletters, and you can definitely stay connected with us, and there's other ways that you can respond there. Let's go back to Sylvia, if we can go back to Sylvia. Chief Sylvia stands probably 4'6". She comes up to about my waist. We built about an 18-inch platform for the little church there, and she stands on it, and I stand down below, and I'm still taller than she is. My height, I'm 6'5". My height in Costa Rica is often a source of a lot of fun. So much taller. They don't make clothes in my size anywhere in the continent, I think, of Latin America. As we finished up building the church in Jamaica, on the last day before the team that was with us doing the construction went down, Chief Sylvia pulled out some things that she wanted to give us as gifts. She has nothing. They're so poor. They just have no way to make any money up there. And we're like, what does she want to give us? And so she had a couple little gourds that she had carved on that she gave to a couple people. Then she says, now, John, I have something for you. And she pulled out this. She says, this is my seed bag. I've used it for 15 years in my garden to carry my seed. Now, in the jungle, when you plant a garden, some of it's going to be eaten by animals. It's hard to protect it. Some of it's not going to grow. So it's going to be too wet for some things. And she says, but I keep planting my garden. And she keeps planting every year. Because if she doesn't plant anything, she'll have nothing. But at least if she keeps planting, she'll have something. And she made this by hand, literally with bags that she would buy rice in. She would take out the nylon filaments one at a time, twist them into the little twine, and then weave the twine together. So she made this by hand. And for 15 years, this was her seed bag. And I have some coffee beans in here. And I want you to each have a seed from Chief Sylvia's seed bag. And we're going to pray with this in our hand. Is that okay? Can I get about four helpers to help me? Maybe some of the teenagers. Yes, yes, by all means, come on up. Could you help me, Elsa? Maybe you can go up that side. Yay. You can help too. You're just really happy with that. You go up this side. All right, awesome. Thank you, bud. Once you go up this side of this section, I need one more helper for that section. Oh, yes, by all means. All right, you know, take a couple more here. Thank you, Brittany. All right. So this isn't actually coffee in seed form. You can't plant this because it's already roasted. But it smells so much nicer when it's roasted. So we're doing roasted. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a mustard seed. It's just a tiny, tiny seed. It's like the period of ink at the end of a sentence. In your Bible. I mean, they're so small. And he says, but it's planted in the ground and it grows to become a huge bush that's a blessing to all the birds and to all the creatures. And our life as believers is about planting seed for the Lord. And what would happen if you just decided, I'm going to plant a seed in one way or another every single day? Refusing to lash back at someone when they get angry. Choosing to bless instead of curse. Choosing to love. Choosing to give somebody something that you would have spent the money on you otherwise. Every day, one little seed. What would happen if every day you consciously planted one seed? As you're giving, as you're praying for people, praying for us. Would you stand with me? Oh, are you done? Thank you. You can give me the other. Thanks. Very good. Got some good helpers here. Thank you. Did everybody get at least one? I don't know what the Lord is doing in your life right now. I don't know who the people are in your life. The ones that are easy to live with, that you just love being around, and the ones that are a little more difficult. I don't know what the projects are, the changes are coming up. I don't know what your challenges are. One day I met a guy in Cuba whose family had taken out a $100 loan a year and a half before to buy some sheep to fatten them up. They all died, and his family had been going for a year and a half and no way to pay off a $100 loan because they made 20 bucks a month. And for him, that was an impossible situation. And the Lord provided for him. But I don't know what your challenge is. But this is a seed from Chief Sylvia's little bag. And it represents faith. It represents that God is really with you. Take a sniff of it if you need to every once in a while, you know. And the presence of the Lord goes with you. And you can choose to plant and trust and have faith every single day. And we go as missionaries. And it's not automatic. We don't just land in a country and the Lord starts just converting people. No, we work and we plant seed every day. Just like you do. So would you take this in your hand? Let's lift this up to the Lord. This represents your life, your decisions, your faith, your hope, your trust in the Lord that created the heavens and the earth, that has jurisdiction, that has called us all to be part of his mission to go and make disciples and bless and to be his hands and feet extended.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.